Hey guys, welcome to Sippin' with Sam, a podcast. Now, I want to start off with a disclaimer. I am not a doctor, and there's nothing that is going to replace your own veterinarian. So, we might be talking about topics that come up in the veterinary office. However, there's nothing that's going to be replacing your veterinarian. So today I have my friend Nicole here with me. Hi, Nicole.
Hi.
Nicole is a licensed veterinary technician. We do happen to work together, so this is quite the treat. Tonight we are drinking some spike seltzers. We've got black cherry rose meowie is what I'm calling it to go with the theme of our podcast. So we're just going to get started here. Nicole, how long have you been a licensed technician?
It's a good question, Sam. I think it's been about 9 years.
Right on, girl.
I think it's been 9 years.
And how do you maintain? Like, do you just take the test once and then you're done? Or, like, what is it to maintain your license?
You take the test, and then it depends on what state you're in. So I was certified in Massachusetts before I worked in New York, and there it was, oh gosh, I think you had to get 18 continuing education credits every year and pay $50, something like that, a year to keep your certification, and you had to have proof of the continuing education points and lectures that you went to. And in New York State, it's every 3 years you get renewed. I can't remember how much it costs. It's like $125, and we have to get 23 CE credits over 3 years, 25 CE credits over 3 years.
Okay.
It's every 3 years.
That's great.
I just look it up. I'm like, okay, how many do I need?
And when do I have to renew this?
Yeah.
Got it.
They always send you a nice little notification that it's time to renew.
That's always nice.
A couple months, I think, before you actually need it, and yeah.
Cool. All right. Awesome. Okay. So we've got that technical stuff out of the way. I hear a lot of people kind of starting to discuss, especially in the workplace, technician versus nurse. Mm-hmm. And I'm really not sure where that term, like, I don't know. It's such a hard thing. So what do you prefer? Do you prefer technician and nurse, and why?
I prefer nurse because that's pretty much what we are. The only reason we're called technicians, and that's just in the United States, is because of the nurses within the United States not liking us using that term for whatever reason.
Got it. That sounds rude.
Personally,
that sounds a little bit rude because we have so many more species to take care of.
Yes.
Not that I'm degrading I'm saying anything bad about human nurses because they are angels. They're godsends. I'm telling you, they're great. However, they have to know one species, it's a human.
Yeah.
We have to know, like, oh my God, so many.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that is what I believe is the issue, why we weren't called nurses when this first started, and we had to take the term technician, because in other countries, we're called veterinary nurses. But we're trying to change that. And so, yes, I prefer the term nurse. It makes it a lot easier when I'm talking to people, because when I say I'm a veterinary technician, they're like, oh, you're a veterinarian? I'm like, no.
Mm-hmm.
So if I say I'm a veterinary nurse, they instantly understand what it is that I do.
Gotcha.
For the most part. They think they understand what it is that I do. They don't. But
yeah, I've also had the same thing happen to me where someone's like, oh, you're a veterinarian. I'm like, no. I cannot call myself a veterinarian. I don't qualify to be a veterinarian.
Mm-hmm.
So no. But yeah, okay, great. So from now on, from here on out, we're going to call technicians nurses. And I feel like a lot of them would appreciate that.
Yes.
So if you're listening and someone comes out and they say they're your tech, or if they call themselves your nurse, then just go with the flow.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So then I guess this leads into my next question. What's the difference between an assistant, a technician or a nurse, and a doctor? Because right now in the place that we work at, there's a very clear black and white line. If you are not a licensed technician, you cannot be doing the things that the technicians do. And if, obviously, if you're not a doctor, you don't have that little, you didn't go to school for it, you don't have your license to be a doctor, then you're not a doctor. Mm-hmm. There are other places where technician and assistant are kind of interchangeable. So the difference between an assistant and a tech, go.
A lot of places, they don't have assistants. Most of the places I worked at did not have assistants. Mm. The technicians did what we consider assistant work at our current practice, as well as technician work. Mm. So assistants, at least where we work, are responsible for a lot of the care of the animals, like husbandry of the animals, mm-hmm. And restraint. Animal restraint, they go into the appointments with the doctors, they hold
now,
the doctors.
Now, when you talk about restraint, mm-hmm. you know, we say that term, it sounds so harsh. I hate calling it that.
The handling of the animals.
Yeah, it's always so stinky because I think about it and it's like when I explain what I do to people and I use the word restraint, almost immediately I like recoil from the word. I hate it. But yes, handle, restrain, it is what we do. We make sure that everybody is safe. I am technically an assistant because I have not sat for
the Vitney,
which is the Veterinary Technician National Exam. Mm-hmm. So until I sit for that, I'm still technically an assistant. One of the huge things is that if you are licensed, you have rights and you can get paid more. Mm-hmm. If you are an assistant and you are being used as a technician, you probably won't make as much money. You really didn't go to school. It's like taking yourself to the doctor. Mm-hmm. And you've got a nurse who walks in, and you're trying to make conversation with her, and she's taking your blood, and it's like, oh, how long have you been doing this? And she's like, oh, forever, honey. Mm-hmm. And then you find out she's not licensed.
She's not registered.
She's not registered to be doing these things. She's just like, oh, I've been doing it for so long. Mm-hmm. I can just do whatever I want.
Yeah, and assistants, unless they're actively in school for a technician degree, they don't have the knowledge behind a lot of the things that we're doing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're putting animals' lives in danger in that situation.
Yeah.
We are held responsible for what happens to these animals. Yeah. We can have our licenses removed just if we make mistakes and mm-hmm. we do something terrible and against the code. And, so that's a big difference with the unlicensed technicians doing work. In a lot of states, it's illegal to mm-hmm. be working as a technician and called a technician when you don't have a license or registered or certified.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
When you haven't passed the Vitney.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then on the doctor side of this, we've got doctors who, you know, in our current practice, the nurses are the ones who monitor anesthesia. They have a lot of say in our anesthesia protocols. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of say in the things that go into these animals' bodies, which I think is great because the assistants and the nurses are really the ones that kind of get to know these pets.
Mm-hmm. And we're advocates for them.
And we're advocates for them. Yeah. Yes, we stand up for our patients. Not that our doctors don't, but a lot of times they don't see how nervous they get once they're put in the cage.
Or they're thinking about a million other things and they can't be thinking about those things, how the animal's acting, whether or not this drug is going to be a good idea for.
Right. Or how much of this drug is going to be a good idea or a bad idea.
Yes.
Who knows?
Yes.
So cool. All right. So in surgery, typically, what does surgery look like for you? doctor versus nursing.
Oh, well, I was going to talk about the difference really, because a lot of people are confused about what a nurse versus a vet even does. Mm. And the biggest difference is veterinary nurses cannot diagnose, prescribe medication, or perform surgery. Mm. That's the difference between a vet nurse and a veterinarian. We have a lot of the same knowledge that veterinarians have, besides obviously, you know, doing surgery. But we've taken the anatomy classes, we've taken the biology classes, we've taken the chemistry classes. We've taken pharmacology, anesthesia, all of that same knowledge. And I also think some veterinarians don't realize mm-hmm. even what it is that we do and what we're tested on and the knowledge that we have and how much we've learned.
Which is crazy because, yes. I mean, technical school is, in a lot of places, only 2 years. So you gotta cram all this information into 2 years where doctors...
Well, if you do the associates... I did the bachelor's.
Yes, so got it. Okay.
There's also minute differences between when you have an associate's, you're a technologist versus a technician if you've graduated with a bachelor's. In the real world, it doesn't really make a difference, is what I learned. But,
yeah. All right, cool.
You still take the same exam. You can still get paid the same. But, yeah, that's, you know, that's a big thing with a lot of the doctors where I feel like, granted, I don't have to think about how drugs are going to interact all the time because I'm not responsible for prescribing medications. Mm-hmm. So that's not knowledge. It's knowledge I have, but it's not knowledge I keep in my brain all the time. There's other things I have to be worrying about, like how they're going to do under anesthesia and paying attention to that.
Right.
Versus, you know, all the various drugs and how they interact with each other.
Yikes. So. Yeah, I know that we've had situations where, you know, they have like an anesthesia plan. Mm-hmm. They have an anesthetic plan in their computer in the plan, and it's there, and we're looking at these drugs and we'll be like, hey, those shouldn't be given together, or this is prescribed and I don't think that this is right. And that is where the advocacy for our patients comes in, because at that point then we're like, hey, Dr. So-and-so, are you sure that you want to put this drug with this drug? And more often than not, they're like, oh my god, thank you so much for catching that. You're amazing.
It's the same with, you know, I think it's just as important for nurses to look back at the history of the patient as it is for the doctors. There's definitely been times when I've gone through and read reports if the animal has some kind of heart disease, and I read their echo reports, and it says to avoid certain types of drugs. And, you know, it is our job to know what category of drugs that each drug is that we use in our protocols, and had to go and be like, hey, you put... you know, this kind of drug in here, and it says not to use that specifically in the echo plan. And they'll be like, oh my god,
you're right.
Holy crap.
Thank you so much. Again, this is where like the whole you're amazing thing comes in. It's great. Also, guys, side note, we do have cats here. They're hanging out. They're getting a little frisky underneath around here. So just an FYI, if anybody hears growling or hissing, it's not Nicole or myself. we're getting along just fine.
We have an audience of cats that want to hear all about veterinary care.
Just like you guys do. Because why would you be here?
Of course.
Right? Cool.
It's the same. We also have to, nurses, pay attention to drug dosing. That's a big thing. Because we're all work as a team. We can't be relying on just the veterinarians to get everything right all the time. Because people make mistakes. They type the wrong number by accident.
Yeah.
They
What's that
put
saying?
The decimal point
we're
in the wrong
human,
place.
We're all human, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So we all act as, you know, backup for each other. So it's important for nurses to know, you know, how much a patient, what's a normal dosage of a drug for patients.
And this is a lot of stuff, and a lot of stuff that we're talking about, this is where school comes in.
Yes.
This is where you pick these things up.
Experience.
And experience, and being in the field. Now, I've been an assistant for going on 11 years now, so I've been at the same practice. It's my second home, and I love it. I wouldn't change it for anything. But, you know, I've learned a lot of great things just being there. So things like this. However, learning why the drugs interact or why you can't give this with that, that was where school is coming in. So really awesome.
Actually, just today I had a doctor, we were working on a procedure, and she decided to add a drug on, and then looked at me and she's like, what's the dose for that? And I'm like, it's this. And she's like, oh yeah.
Great. Awesome. Thank you so much. Yeah. Because then they got to go to Plums, or they got to check
with them. They don't remember. They have to go ask another doctor. They think they remember. Yeah.
Yeah. So, dude.
Anyway.
Great.
Education is great. License techs are great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, there's that. So, next question I have for you is, this is one that I get all the time. Personally, I love this. When my friends come to me and they ask me for advice about their pets. Mm-hmm. I love it. I absolutely adore it. Usually, if it's something, you know, I know what's in my league and what isn't. So if it's something out of my league, I'll just be like, ugh, you really should go talk to the vet.
Mm-hmm.
Your particular vet. So that's rough. But how do you feel when your friends ask you, hey, my cat has been throwing up. She throws up, like, I don't know, once a week or something.
Mm-hmm.
How concerned should I be? Or, I don't know, what do people even ask you?
I've had a lot of different questions. I also love it. I love being able to share my knowledge. You know, I went to school for it. I've been doing it for a long time. I feel like I've learned a lot. And I love being able to help out. More often than not, I tell them to go to their vet, regardless of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I actually had a tech friend ask me my opinion about her own pet. And I was like, you should take you them should to, go the vet. To the vet. It sounds like it could be a lot of different things. It could be this, it could be that, it could be that. But whatever's going on does not seem right. And you should definitely go get it checked out. yeah, I've had a lot of different questions. One of the best ones was, I don't remember how it started off, but it ended up that the dog had a ruptured spleen.
Ooh.
Like the spleen had ruptured. Or it had a tumor and then it ruptured. Something like that.
And those are emergencies.
Yeah.
Those are
no,
huge.
They ended up putting the dog down.
Aww.
But it was, oh, it started off, it was, the dog, like, wasn't acting itself, was really lethargic, didn't want to eat dinner, which was totally abnormal, and then I asked her to look at his gums, and she said he was really pale, and I told her to take him to the emergency room, and she texted me later and said it was a splenic mass, and removing it was really dangerous, and it could rupture, and they ended up euthanizing the dog, which is sad.
Yeah.
That was one. I've had other people ask about their cats over-grooming themselves.
So, hold
skin
on.
Skin things.
Before we go too far.
Yeah.
The pale gums.
Yeah.
That's huge. So, a lot of people, you know, will be like, I know, especially in appointments, will be like, oh, how do you know my pet is dehydrated?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be looking at how tacky the gums are. It's a really big signifier of, like, if there's something wrong with your pet.
Yeah.
And the pale gums.
Yeah.
Usually is something like, you know, they're losing blood somewhere else.
Yeah. So that's what I think it had. It hadn't ruptured, but it was leaking.
Doing
this was
something,
years ago, so I can't remember all the details. I know it was something to do with the spleen. I'm pretty sure it was leaking. I remember the dog having pale gums, and I told her take him to the emergency room.
You know, it can range anything from that to anemia to, like, it can be so many things.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, that's why, you know, those little things that you're looking for, it's insane.
Yeah.
So, because you can't just ask them, oh, hey, Fluffy, what's wrong? Mm-hmm. You gotta figure it out.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's true. They can't tell you.
So then, so cats over-grooming themselves. Another thing, like, you know, are they anxious about anything? Is there something going on? Or, you know, whatever the case is.
I've had a lot of different, I can't remember all the different questions, but people ask me questions all the time. Someone who walked into their neighbor's apartment because they think that the dog had a seizure. And I was like, oh, great. You definitely need to take it. He's like, I'm not responsible for this dog. The owner's out of town. I just happen to have keys for their apartment and I heard it making a weird noise over here.
Oh,
and it's
no.
Someone else that's taking care of this dog and I can't get in touch with anybody. Oh, that was bad.
Oh, no, thank you.
The dog ended up being fine.
Oh, great.
It was a really old dog.
Oh, poor guy. He's probably
but
just like,
oh, it does sound like it had a seizure. You should take it to the vet. And he's like, I can't do that. So.
Ooh, that's rough.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's super rough. Yeah, seizures are no joke. They can be very scary looking.
Yes.
I don't even want to say more often than not, but a lot of times they're scarier than what they really are.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, if something like that happens to your pet, you immediately take them to the vet.
Yes.
Pretty
much I don't think there's been any case where someone has asked me a question where I haven't recommended them taking to the vet.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll tell them what I can, but I always recommend you should go to a vet.
Mm-hmm.
There's only so much I can see through a picture or through your description.
Yeah.
I can't look at your pet. I can't, you know, give you a better answer besides,
right.
It sounds like it could be this, but you should take it to the vet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually had a friend of mine, this was again years ago. And she was like, yeah, I took my cat to the vet and we got the rabies vaccine and now she's throwing up everywhere and she can't stop pooping and it was horrible. And I was like, oh my God, that's a vaccine reaction. You gotta go. Like, this is what it is. So I was able to tell her what it was or what I assumed it was.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, you should really go back to your vet and be like, this is what's happening. But by the time she had actually, like, gotten my message. She was like, oh, it stopped. And I was like, oh, God, okay, you should still take her to the vet. You
probably should still go.
So she ended up taking her to the vet, and they, you know, put it in her file that, you know, rabies vaccine isn't so friendly. So, okay, cool. Yeah, cool. I'm glad we're on the same page with that, because I also, I really enjoy answering people. I mean, it's the reason I'm starting this podcast. Because I really
it's
like
important stuff. I mean, it's, you know, this is what we do.
This is literally what we do.
Answer questions and share our knowledge.
So,
I honestly get annoyed when people don't ask me.
Right? And you're just like, come on, I'm here. This is what I do, man. Just ask me. But I know I've definitely talked to other nurses who have been like, I don't want to talk about work outside of work. Not that they don't love it, and not that they don't, you know, not that they don't love it, but they just are like, I want to turn my brain off. I don't want to have to think about what my friend's cat is throwing up.
Yeah.
On a regular basis. Just, I don't really need to think about that on my off days. And I'm like, yeah, I can totally understand that.
Yeah.
I can totally get that.
Yeah, I mean, when I go to someone's house, too, and they have pets, especially if they have, like, a really friendly dog, the first thing I do is, like, look at their teeth.
Yep.
And check their skin turgor.
It's one of those, you guys.
Whoever wants these have I had? Yeah. Look at their nails and ask if I can cut their nails.
Yeah. The black cherry rose meowry is really doing a number on us. It's good times. So.
Well, it's one of those things that I always write, but I don't say a lot.
So yeah.
Jogging. Is it jogging or jogging?
A gif or a jif? I guess that's where that goes. That's where that sits in. Turger or turger? Okay, cool. So I guess my last question is going to be, so I know every practice is different, but in our particular practice, how the rundown usually is that the assistants are in the rooms with the doctors and they help handle the animal for the appointment.
Yep.
And then the doctor decides on the treatments. Mm-hmm. They put in the doses for everything. They make sure everything is in there. And then 99% of the time, they'll send the patient to the back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are some owners that we have that are a little bit worried when they have to, like, leave their pet with us, which makes me so sad because I'm like, where have you been where you don't want to leave your pet and entrust your pet with the people that love it and that only want the best for it? This is why we do what we do. So that always makes me so sad. So in order to put some people at ease, maybe whoever is listening to this, at least at our practice, and I'm sure in many other places, our animals are number one, period, hands down. And that's going to be no matter where I go. So whether I stay at this current practice, whether I go somewhere else, if I end up moving, whatever, the patients are always number one. So when a patient comes back to you, what typically happens? What do you do first?
Usually I introduce myself to the patient. I ask the assistant who it is and what we're doing, because a lot of times, even if it's on the plan, the assistant was in the appointment. Sometimes they remember things that the doctor forgot.
Yeah, those ear cleans. They sneak
up on you. Try and see what they're saying, if that matches up with the plan, you know. I got to introduce myself to the patient. You know, they got to know me before I start doing things to them.
Yeah.
I check, when I introduce myself, I'm always kind of checking their temperament, which factors into a lot of the way that I decide to approach what we're doing. Then I'll look at the plan and then I'll proceed with whatever it is that we need to do. And I'll prioritize what we're doing, again, usually based on the patient. If it's a really scared cat and I know I have to do a lot of things, I think about what the most important things are, like blood work. You know, it's really important to get blood work and urine for patients. And then I kind of go down the list. So, like, things like a nail trim, not as important as getting blood work
gonna
or
be low.
Getting the medication in that it needs.
Yeah. And this is also, like, where these things come in with, like, the owners, where they're like, oh, yeah, my cat, you know, in the appointment, which I'm a part of, oh, my cat's been throwing up for 2 weeks, and now we're here. okay, so the doctor does their exam, they do all these things, they put in a plan. Oh, yeah, by the way, could you do a nail trim?
Yeah.
And we're like, okay.
Well, your cat's trying to kill us, but sure.
But okay, we'll do our best.
You know. So, and yeah, it's always in the best interest of the patient and the assistant. Because yeah. I don't want the patient to hurt the assistant. And I don't want the patient to get really anxious and upset.
Do you know whenever I am teaching new assistants how mm-hmm. things go, I'm like, our patients always come first. So... Yeah. Their safety is number one. So even if it's something scary,
yes.
their safety is number one. So if you're scared and you're not comfortable, speak up. It's okay. It's totally yes. okay. Cats are terrifying. Cats are
terrifying.
Terrifying.
People don't understand that.
They don't get it.
A fractious cat is terrifying.
It's super, super, super scary. They come flying at you with yes. all 4 feet, which each have, I mean, if you're lucky, 5
yes.
toes.
Yes.
And 5 nails.
Sometimes more.
They've got teeth that has bacteria on it that's mm-hmm. been on there for years. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, they're insane. They're great.
And let's not forget, they are not as domesticated as dogs, and they are way more like their big ancestor or big cousins.
Yes, absolutely. They're wild. Cats yeah. are wild. And, like, their temperament changes the second they come into the vet.
I have been trapped in a room with a doctor and a nurse that had 20 years experience by one cat who caught us in the corner and were lunging at us and running around the walls. And I had to sneak out and get a butterfly net to catch it.
God. Yeah. See, that kind of stuff, that's crazy.
We had to distract it because it kept literally trapped us in the corner. So the other two people distracted the cat so I could get out of the room and get a butterfly net.
Oh my God.
Like, yeah. They can be crazy.
Butterfly
crazy.
Nets.
Crazy.
And then usually once we have hands on them,
yeah.
it ends up being okay.
Yes.
We use a lot of towels in our practice.
Yes.
We go Gloves. Through towels like water.
Yeah.
Whether we're wrapping them to make them feel more comfortable mm-hmm. or if we're protecting ourselves. Mm-hmm.
Or just that moment of disorientation if you need to catch them real fast
mm-hmm.
That gives you the upper hand.
Yes.
Which works on a lot of different species.
Yes. Which is great.
Yeah.
Yes, because you're a technician. You worked in small animals.
Yes.
Yes, exotics. Wait.
Exotics. Exotics, what? Technically. Small animals is what, well, technically what we do, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. General practice
is small animals.
We have
practice.
Seen our fair share of, like, little oddities here and there. Like, yes. the occasional hedgehog or yes. the occasional bird or the occasional, God, what are those? Guinea pigs. I'm thinking of... The little guys who take dirt baths, chinchillas.
Oh, chinchillas, yeah.
Yes, we've seen a couple of those, so it's, you know, very
yeah.
interesting.
Yeah.
Sorry, so back to, I totally went off base here, treating your animals
yes.
in the back.
Yes.
This is how we got
yes.
into this. Okay. So treating our animals in the back, you know, we do our best to make them so comfortable, and, you know, if it's a scared cat, we
yes.
really do take the... We quiet everybody around us. Mm-hmm. We
go into a room if it's really bad.
It's so loud. So we prioritize first. Okay,
yes.
So prioritize. You introduce yourself. You prioritize. Mm-hmm. And then we go from there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happens if you have, like, Shibas?
Mm-hmm.
They are notorious for being... Not the best patients.
Yes. A little naughty.
They're a little bit naughty. They will bite.
Yes.
They will
scream.
Oh my gosh, they scream like nothing
For
you've ever
when
heard.
When you touch them.
You don't even have to do
you've
anything.
You've done nothing. You've looked at them and they start screaming at you.
It's almost comical. If they
yes.
weren't so scared,
yes.
I would be laughing. But
yes.
they're terrified, which
yes.
is part of our job is to not laugh at them because, like, that's mean.
Mm-hmm.
That's just mean. And, you know, they come in and they're just... Super
yeah.
terrified.
Yeah.
So anyway, when it comes to a patient like that,
mm-hmm.
what are your steps to help comfort them?
And
then what's your last resort?
I feel like a lot of it is an energy.
Mm.
When it comes to patients like that, I can be selective about who I choose to keep around the patient. Bringing in backup to distract is always nice.
We do a lot of singing.
Yeah, singing.
We do a lot of singing.
Great.
Baby Shark
mm-hmm.
is a constant
mm-hmm.
in our hospital.
Mm-hmm. With the actions, the motions,
mm-hmm.
everyone singing along, it really does distract the animals because they're like, what are you doing?
Yep. We get a lot of
really
the...
weird.
They kind of pause for a minute and they're like, when everybody breaks out.
Yes. Why do you all know this song? This seems strange.
You're all doing the same movements. Like, I don't
yeah.
get it.
Toys. I'm a big fan of, especially for younger dogs, of the squeaky toy. Treats if they like food, if they can eat food. Just a real good pat on the head. Depending on what we're trying to do to distract them, if like I'm trying to get blood.
I've actually been meaning to, I want to get a plexiglass wall.
Yeah, to stick stuff to so they can lick.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I've been meaning to talk to our people.
Yes.
I've been meaning to talk to our people about this because I'm like, this is such a great idea. Yes. And I used to use it for my own dog when I would give her a bath. I would just smear peanut butter all over the side of the bathtub. So because she was so anxious in the bathtub and I felt so bad for her. So all I had to do was smear peanut butter in there. And she was like, oh, this is actually great. Yeah.
We did that with, we had a patient that had to come in frequently for bandage change. And that's what I would do is I would take pill pockets and smush them as flat as I could.
That's right. I remember. Yes.
Against the table.
What was wrong with that pet?
It was...
I can't remember what was wrong with the pet, but yes, I remember that. It was broken its toe? And it was a crazy pup.
Yeah.
It was a big dog, a big, like, labradoodle-y thing. Vizsla, was it. Yes. Puppy.
I would do that because we did that for when I worked in rehab. We did that on the front of the water treadmills to get the dogs to walk forward. Mm. We'd smear it on the front of the water treadmills and they would walk the pill pockets. We'd like smush it because or do peanut butter or both. But the pill pockets are nice because it's a little more solid. But harder to get off because of how it smears so easily, but pill pockets, sticks really hard.
They kind of have the consistency of Play-Doh.
Yeah.
That's how
it is.
It's like Play-Doh. That's how I give it to clients. So, like, when I'm explaining the consistency, I'm like, oh, it's like a little Play-Doh. It's like a little bit of a Play-Doh. So, like, it has more of a form than peanut butter does.
Yeah. And they have to work really hard to get it off.
So, it takes some time and concentration in order to do this.
And I would do that also... with this puppy. I did a little bit in my hand, but she had a tendency to use her front teeth. But another thing I would do is take the pill pockets and smear them on the inside of my palm and hold my palm in like a fist with a tiny hole. So she'd have to like work really hard to get into my hand.
Genius.
But she tended to use her teeth and then I had to stop doing that.
You're like, ow.
She's like using her little nibbly front little incisors to try and get out of my hand.
And you're like, no, how about we don't? I like my hand.
But I would do that in with the rehab too to get them to lie still while they got massages or lasers or whatever. So that's what I had done for her to keep her on her side. So a plexiglass or our syringe plastic caps if we had slightly bigger ones or even if we take out the plungers of the syringe and just have the cap and you fill inside of those with peanut butter and pill pockets, they can like stick their tongue in there
to distract your patients and make them feel better. So if we do all of this, we have the towels, we have the blankets, muzzles. I love muzzles.
Sometimes even if the animal's not bad, it's a distraction.
And a lot of times, I'd probably say 85% of the time you put a muzzle on a dog, it calms him down.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I don't know what it is, whether they respect it. Oh, cats, no.
Not cats.
Forget
it. Dogs.
Just dogs. This is literally just dogs. Cats are really rough. There's no distracting them.
No.
Any kind of the distraction that we've been talking about would never work.
Never.
For a cat.
In fact, pat them on the head and it just makes them angrier.
Yep. Oh, God.
Squeak something in there. Sing to them. No way.
God, no. Please. They're going to be like, ugh. Cats, I feel like, are just so... I mean, I'm sure people have seen this on the internet everywhere, but, like, cats... Dogs are... What do they say? Dogs are friends.
Mm-hmm.
We're their friends, but for cats, we're their servants.
Yes.
It's so true.
I mean, they were worshipped in Egypt, so, you know.
I mean,
they're still waiting for that day.
Yeah, I would be kind of mad if I was like, oh, my ancestors got worshipped and I have to poop in a box. Like, guys, what the heck? No. So for dogs, a muzzle is great. It's such a fantastic tool used for helping to, like, calm them down.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Muzzles. Muzzles are good. Towels sometimes over the head.
Yep.
Going in a quiet room again.
Mm-hmm.
If you turn the lights off in there, if you're able to do things like that.
Slow.
Nice. Slow, calm, quiet.
Slow, calm.
And it is a lot about your energy, and people, I think, don't realize how much animals feed off of that.
I've definitely had to walk away from patients because I feel myself getting frustrated, and I do not want to bring that energy into whatever we're doing.
Yes.
I just want nothing to do with it. So I will literally turn to my nurse, and this is, again, part of, like, advocacy for this patient. I'll turn to my nurse and I'll say, I'm getting frustrated. I can feel it. I'm going to see if I can get someone to switch out with me because I don't want to make things worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Energy's huge.
I do a lot of that with when I'm asked to do things to patients I've become familiar with. Mm. Not patients that are brought back from an appointment, but patients that are in the hospital. And when I have to do that, I will always think about, okay, what kind of patient do I have? What is it I need to do? Who would be the best fit for this patient? If they're specifically difficult. If they're fine, like, whoever is great.
Right.
But I'm like, oh, I know these assistants are really good with very nervous cats. Mm. Or I know these assistants are really good with large, nervous dogs, you know?
Yes.
Or large, very excitable dogs. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, tiny little scared things. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I always
everybody think has their niche. That.
Yes, yes.
Like, everybody has, like, their own thing.
And that's fine. Like, I feel, sometimes I feel bad being like, no, really, like, I really just want to use these people to do this thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm thinking about the patient.
Yeah. And a lot of people, I mean, not necessarily a lot of people in our practice, but sometimes I always tell people, like, don't take this personally.
Yes.
This is literally for the best. This is for the best of our patient. This has nothing to do with you. Has nothing to do with anything that you're doing. It's not like you're doing anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to think about my patient. Like I said, they're number one.
And I never have a problem if, you know, an assistant brings, especially when they're newer and they have a patient that I know another assistant is going to be better at. I love if they stick around to learn about it.
Yes, yes.
And learn why I've chosen this assistant. But it's not always just experience, because there are plenty of experienced assistants that I would choose one or the other specifically for that type of patient.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
what would, okay, this is a real personal question.
Yes.
What do you use me for? Like, what do you search me out for? Because I'm an assistant, technically.
I think you're great with practice. A lot of very nervous animals.
Ah, thank
so
you.
If the animal is nervous, because I know the energy you're bringing will help with them. Like, you know, and I use you for, because you have a lot of experience and are in school for cases that are scary anesthetically.
Mm.
Older patients, patients with a lot of medical issues, because I know you're a helpful extra set of eyes.
Yes.
And you'll take it very seriously and know certain things to be looking out for.
Yes. Great.
So, and that's something you can teach it to other assistants, but you're in school for it and you've been doing it for a long time. So you know a little more than some of the other assistants for those things.
Thank you. Guys, I'm patting myself on the back. No one can see it, but I'm doing it.
And it is the taking it seriously. Cause I mean, I will always tell the assistant I'm working on with the story of the patient.
Yep.
Always. Every little detail I know about that patient, I am telling the assistant.
Now, just as like a side note, the assistants, this is just extra information for them. It's not things that they need to know.
Mm-hmm.
But is it super nice for them to know it and know that, like, hey, this dog has heart disease.
Yes.
This is what we're looking for. Or this patient has, you know, his blood pressure has dropped in the past, you know, like things like that. Like, no, that's not our job. That's not in our job description. But super nice to have that extra set of eyes. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yes. Yes.
And it's the same, you know, having an assistant. So after a patient has an anesthetic procedure, we have to recover them and wake them up from anesthesia. So if it's an assistant I know hasn't worked with that animal, I always tell them, oh, this is how it went when we gave them, we pre-medded them, and this is how they went to sleep, and this is how they were before the pre-med, and this is how I'm expecting them to wake up, but who really knows? But for the most part, it's probably going to be like this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, all of that. But yeah, I like to use you for nervous patients, and scary patients. I feel bad when I have to use you for the dogs that I know are going to push you over the edge. Like, I know, I'm like, Sam's going to not like this dog, but she's my only choice right now. Like, I don't have, you know, I also need someone I trust with this.
Yep,
but,
I'm always there for you, girl. Yeah. I'm always there.
Sam's going to hate me when I ask her.
Well, you know what? The thing is like, I love all the animals. Don't get me wrong. I really do. But it's like certain personalities. It's like the same thing.
Certain personalities work. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the same thing with people. You know, they've got these personalities. Sometimes dogs come in, they have these huge personalities. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you're a lot.
Yeah, and I have the assistants that I tend to ask for those who don't mind or love working with that kind of patient.
Oh my gosh, we work with a guy named John.
Yes.
John
freaking
is your...
I mean, if he's around, I know I'm going for him.
He's the first one. But, like, the thing is that we have all these different personalities at work to help us deal with all the different personalities of the patients.
Yes.
Which is lovely.
Yes.
It's just really nice to have.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, well, I really think that that kind of wraps up our talk here.
You know,
sipping with Sam. We've been sipping this whole time.
Yeah, I'm about ready for another one.
So. Yeah, there we go. Sipping with Sam podcast. You guys, thank you so much for listening in. I hope that you learned something. If you guys have any questions, I don't know if there's a way for you to ask, but if you're a friend, you know, you probably have my number, so go ahead and text me. I guess see you guys next time, or listen to you guys next time, or hear you next time. I don't even know what I would say.
Yeah, I don't know.
So thanks for listening, you guys. Everybody have a really good day.
Bye.
Thanks, Nicole. Yes, I would really like to thank you. Thank you so much.
Anytime, Sam. Anytime.
Yeah, anytime we can get together and drink and talk about our...
Great, about work?
Yeah, sure. That's awesome.